And welcome back to
the Let's Tuned Go. In We're podcast. Back, boys.
We're back for another episode, yes, week sir. 3 of the NBA season.
Episode 87. That's
87
crazy.
Is right. We've 87 done this a while. Is right. I can't remember any Jazz players wearing 87, but
I know.
Maybe some football players. Yeah. Like Rob Gronkowski.
Hey, there we go. Boy. Yeah, I feel like we don't have any Jazz players till like the somewhere in the 90s. I know there's probably one, but
yeah, Jay Crowder.
We might be. Oh yeah, Jay Crowder. That's right.
I remember Maione 81.
Yeah, that's right.
But we've got a great episode cooked up for you today. We're going to go through the past couple games this past week, kind of break down how the Jazz have been doing recently. We're going to talk a little bit about the Walker Kessler injury. Sad news, but we'll get into that. And then we'll also talk about a little bit of news around the NBA, give you a mammoth update with the Utah Mammoth, and then we'll talk Big 12 football and BYU basketball.
Don't forget to check out our past episodes as usual. You can find us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. We've gone over a ton of stuff the last couple months that you're going to want to hear, so go check those out. And this is episode 87 of Tuned In Jazz.
Well, a solid week, I would say.
Yeah.
For Jazz.
We got to win.
We got to win. Because I guess last episode, we got to win during the episode, but we didn't really get a chance to actually talk about it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we'll start on a high note, though. We beat the Boston Celtics, which you know, if you didn't know anything about the NBA, you'd think that was our biggest game, you know?
Yeah.
If the Celtics weren't... By the way, before we get in, have you been seeing the Jaylen Brown, like, hairline stuff?
Yeah, like his paint?
Yeah, it's like you're scuffing up guys' jerseys. I think that's so funny.
I don't know. I think he just... And he's, like, denying it.
Yeah.
Like, it's clear.
Yeah, there's, like...
clear it, that it's getting
It's happened,
on
like,
people.
3 or 4 times. It's funny. Anyways, but I just think that's just a little side note.
Did you know did it happen during this game?
That's what I don't think I saw that it did. I'm sure. I don't know, actually. I'd be interested to know.
we were doing the episode while it was going.
Yeah,
so
just I think just shave your head. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, sorry, even more of a side note. Jaylen Brown's in the Starting Five Netflix documentary, and he like unveiled his new shoe with Bill Nye there at like a science museum.
Interesting.
Because he like has his own brand that he's like the CEO.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown's a smart guy, but sometimes when I hear him talk, he's a little different, but that's okay.
He's very passionate about his takes, but he's a smart guy. Also, pretty good basketball player.
Yeah, great basketball player.
We couldn't stop him.
Yeah,
he had 36 points, none of them from three. He missed 9 threes, which is interesting. But yeah, the Celtics without Tatum, definitely a lot easier to beat than the Celtics with Tatum.
I think they're going to have to do some, I mean, it's obvious they're going to have to do some rebuilding. I think even with Tatum and Brown, I think you need some more supporting cast. Like
they're really missing Al Horford too.
Yeah, that Kata guy, I think he played for Utah State. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's solid. Not as good as Al Horford was, I'd
or
say.
Or Porzingis, he doesn't really fill that role that well. And they don't have a Drew Holiday at all. Like Anthony Simons just doesn't. He's not Drew Holiday. Not that that even has to
be
said.
He's complete
but,
opposite, actually. Zero defense, all offense.
Somebody that looked great in this game, though, I thought best game of the season so far, Keontae George, 31 points.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that jumps off the stat sheet the most to me, though, 56% shooting. We've talked about his inefficiency shooting.
It's a pretty rare occurrence, right?
Yeah. And honestly, he doesn't have to shoot 56% every game, but if he can be near 50, I think he's going to have a great career. But he's got to get that number up and keep it up there, you know?
Yeah, right now on the season, he's averaging 43%.
Yeah.
Which
is up from last year, I think.
It's up from 39 like the past 2 years is what he's been at. So 43, that's a little bit of an improvement.
Yeah, totally.
His three-point percentage is at 27, so we definitely want to see him get that up.
That's got to be better.
And he will.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
Totally.
I love that from Keontae. I also like just Lauri Markkanen again.
Yeah.
I kind of want to start a trend of just not forgetting about Lauri.
Yeah.
But he had 20 points, shot pretty well, just played a solid Lauri game.
Yeah.
And honestly, with the Walker Kessler injury, mm-hmm. we're going to need this Lurie to kind of maintain itself. We're going to win some games.
Yeah, I mean, Ace only played 18 minutes. Still a little frustrating for me. I feel like needs to be. You can't blame sickness
Bryce
anymore.
Bryce did not play at all. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he was injured, but.
Yeah, you can't blame sickness anymore. At first, it was like, the Ace was dealing with some flu or something, but now it's like, okay, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Why is he not playing? I thought Filipowski played really good, 13-8. He didn't have that many minutes either for
He was hitting threes, that production. Getting to the line.
Yeah, totally.
Doing a little bit of everything like he normally does.
Yeah, he had a great game.
Yeah, everybody on our bench had a positive plus minus.
Yeah.
So pretty solid outing for everybody.
That was solid.
Then moving on, we did get two losses. One of them not as bad as the other.
Yeah.
So let's maybe start with the one that was not as bad. The Pistons game.
Yeah.
But by the way, the Pistons, they're 6-2. They're like top of the East right now. I think they're like 2 or 3.
I think they're a legitimate contender to win the East this year. I think you're going to have to compete with the Knicks probably. But
yeah, Knicks, Cavs, Bucks.
Yeah.
And they can do it. They could compete with those.
That's
teams,
reasonable.
I feel like.
Totally. I thought Svi had a good game, as much as I hate to say it.
I know you're not a Svi guy, but he was looking good.
28 points, 10-16 from the field. I think defensively, he just shows a lot of hustle, which I really respect.
Yeah, and he was also like not just he did shoot a lot of threes, but he was also getting to the paint and like getting fouled a little bit. So it wasn't all threes, but he was hitting lots of threes.
Totally. Yusuf Nurkic, 17 rebounds. What a beast of a game. That's kind of a classic Yusuf Nurkic game, though. That's what you would expect from a Serbian big man. get nasty in the paint and get some boards.
Again, without Kessler, we're going to need Nurkic to probably start the season unless Filipowski ends up starting.
Or Kevin Love or somebody.
Yeah, I saw some of Filipowski at the five, and I think that might honestly be what we end up going to eventually.
Yeah.
Him and Lurie together or something like that.
There's a couple times already I've seen BYU run these weird lineups where they got, and I know this is college, but where they'll put A.J. DeBonta at the five.
It'd
be interesting if the Jazz ran something like that. You could even put Lowry at the five, just try a small ball lineup kind of.
He's 7 foot. He can do it. Yeah. He's able to get blocks as well.
Just try like the small ball, like at five out kind of thing. It might be kind of interesting to try. So.
Yeah, and I think Taylor Hendricks could be the four in that too, him and Lurie.
Totally, yeah.
So I hope Will already maybe thinks about that. We've got plenty of time to try things out.
Now's the time to experiment. So
Right. And then I'll also point out just defensively, there are two guys on the Pistons that we probably had the biggest problem with. One is Jalen Duren. He had 22 and 22 this game, which is kind of insane for a guy that's not that even like crazy. Really an all-star, but he's looking like an all-star against us.
That is crazy.
So that's one concern that I have. Even though like Nurkic did pretty well in the glass, I think it'd kind of be more of a team effort to try and get more rebounds or at least boxing out Jalen Duren during those minutes.
Yeah.
Because he's basically getting all the rebounds that he needed and putting them back in. And really, honestly, that's what helped him take the lead and eventually win the game because Duren just took over in the second quarter. So
one thing I do love from Jazz guys, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but Ace got 9 points, 4 rebounds in only 19 minutes. Walter Clayton, similar minutes, had 6.6 assists. I just, at least if they're not going to play a lot, I love that they're making the most of those minutes. That, Cody Williams last year, sometimes you'd give him 20 minutes and it'd still be zeros across the board. And you're like, what did you even do? But like these guys are actually going out and playing hard. So I love
that.
And
it doesn't look like they're forcing their shots.
No. Yeah. Not horrible.
They're going.
Yeah, totally.
I do hope, I know Ace Bailey, it says he had 5 fouls this game. So that could be part of the reason he didn't play as much. But
yeah,
I'm glad he's putting effort in, even if he ends up fouling a couple extra.
Totally.
But then should we get to probably the worst game of the week, which last night against the Timberwolves. We were hoping when we record last episode, Anthony Edwards would be out.
Yeah.
He was not out. And he's the reason we lost. He had 37 points. Great night for him.
Yeah, it was a really good night.
Yeah. It was cool to see your boys over there, Rudy Gobert, even Joe Ingles. he played 8 minutes this game.
Yeah.
And he was like doing the pick and roll. I saw a highlight of him dropping it off to Joan Behringer.
Yeah. I think, I mean, one thing we saw as Collier started his first game of the season, we kind of wondered what that was going to look like because he was our starter last year. Mm-hmm. It was kind of his job.
Him and Keontae started together.
Yeah, that was something good. I thought was interesting. I thought Keontae didn't play as efficiently, but I didn't think he had a bad game.
Still shot 50% this game, so better than normal.
But it'll just be interesting to see them work together again. I feel like we had some problems with that last year, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, now that Keontae's been playing so well, we're like, do we want Collier in the starting lineup? Because we don't want to throw off any of Keontae's flow.
Yeah, honestly.
Ace Bailey played a little bit more this game.
He had a great game.
He did, and 23 minutes. That might low-key, that might be a career high.
Probably is,
for him for minutes. 12 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists.
A steal.
Pretty good shooting percentage.
Yep.
And then same for Bryson Spa. He ended up playing again after being out for a while. Not a great game from him.
To be fair with my argument, though, we played our young guys this game, and we did get killed. So I think I still think we should be prioritizing development, giving guys experience. But unfortunately, that's also going to come with games like this when more experienced teams come in and just roll you pretty good. But it's good experience.
And I'll agree with you with that. But Ace Bailey's plus minus was better than Svi Mykhailiuk's, you know, because that's kind of the comparison we're drawing. So
you could
say that a lot of that loss was our veterans too. So but hopefully we can get Collier kind of back into the lineup.
Yeah.
If
back to playing at the level.
Yeah. If we have Collier, like, just jump right back in as a starter, is there like, could you see him like going back to the bench at all if like things don't go well for a couple games?
Yeah. I really think we're creating a dilemma for ourselves because I think we have three guys who could be starting level NBA point guards.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they are that right now, but I just don't think you could play all three of them. I think it's going to be tough. And I'm kind of liking what I've seen from Walter Clayton, especially as a rebounder too. I'm like, maybe Isaiah Collier would be better somewhere else, you know, like.
And I'm also going to add Bryce Sensabaugh in there. My take from the beginning of the year is that he might be a starter.
Yeah.
But of course he'd be like a shooting guard, right?
Yeah, probably not a point guard. Yeah.
The other three guys, definitely point guards, but I think we're right. We got four guards that we need to play and I was a Collier guy at the beginning of the year, but Keontae's just played so well. I think he's the point guard now.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say.
Yeah, and Walter Clayton, I mean, we forget that Isaiah Collier is still so young. Isn't he like 20? I think Walter Clayton.
Yeah, he was a one and done, right?
Yeah, so he still has a lot of potential to develop into something, but Walter Clayton's just at the age where he can come in and like he's NBA ready, and that doesn't mean he's going to be better than Isaiah Collier, but I don't know. It's just tough to decide.
Might mean he's better right now.
Yeah, I think so.
Possibly.
I think so.
Especially with Collier kind of being rusty.
Totally. And Isaiah Collier's not a great scorer either. I mean, he's not bad, but really the reason he started last year was because of his playmaking ability, and which he's really great at and we could really use, but he's got to be a better scorer.
And now Keontae kind of seems like he's older a little bit, like maybe a year older.
Yeah.
And he's kind of got more experience at this point.
Taking on a leadership role a little more, it seems like.
Everyone's saying he put in the work in the offseason.
Yeah, totally. So
be interesting to see. I bet Isaiah Collier will probably start next week's games, so we can kind of see how it works out.
Maybe we just let Isaiah Collier go get a G League MVP this year, you know?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I was like, yeah, and then I was like, wait, why did I just agree to that?
I'm just kidding. That would be pretty awesome, but I don't think so.
Yeah, him and Cody Williams both win MVP, just like co-MVPs. There.
Yeah. I mean, why not, you know?
Yeah. But a solid week. It seems like we've basically had one win a week for 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll kind of play into your predictions for the next week. See, maybe you're going to pick one win. Mm-hmm. Maybe be a little bit more optimistic. We'll see. Let's start with the game tomorrow night, or Monday night, rather. We're going to play the Timberwolves again, but we're going to bring them to the Delta Center. So it could be a little bit closer. Hopefully. I don't think it could get any worse than than last night, losing by 30.
Yeah.
But we got a little bit of an advantage being at home. What do you got for that game?
Yeah, so I think we don't lose twice in a row to the same team, so I think Jazz get a win. I'm going to say +6. I don't know. So I don't really have any reason other than I just think being back at home after a long road trip, maybe we'll be a little revitalized. It feels like there's been a couple day gap between the games. So maybe we'll be rested too. So I'm going to give us the win.
I like it. I'm going to go with a loss.
Okay.
I just feel like the Timberwolves, they kind of dug themselves a hole the first couple games of the season.
Totally.
With some losses and Edwards being out. And so I think Edwards is going to try and will them to a couple wins and a win streak here to get up in the standings. So I think it's going to be a tough game with him being back and determined to win.
Yeah, totally. So, I like that. What about then we play the Pacers? Pretty bad team so far this year. What do you feel like?
See, that would be 3 losses in a row for the Jazz. And then I think Pacers are probably our easiest matchup of the week.
Yeah.
So I think if the win that we're going to get is the most likely win that we can get this week is against the Pacers. And so I'm going to have Jazz win by 12.
Ooh, okay.
Not even close. Just take care of business.
I like that. I think I agree with you. I think Pacers are 1-7 to start the season. It's clear that without Haliburton and Miles Turner, they're a different team. Mm-hmm. They'll get back, but right now, they're not very great.
They're not the NBA Finals team.
Pascal Siakam can only do so much by himself. So I'm going to say Jazz win by 5. I think, I don't know. I could see, I'm predicting more than one win this week. So I like that game to be a win.
And then we go into our final game of the week, Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Love that we got a home stand.
Yep.
We got all 3 games at home this week, so that should help. We're going to play our boy Quinn Snyder and the Atlanta Hawks.
Yep.
Alexander
Walker.
Yep.
I really like the Hawks roster. I think they're a sneaky playoff team in the East this year.
So far, they've been kind of average.
Yeah, not a great start. But I like Risa Shea. I think people are too hard on Trae Young. I think he's better than... I think he has some issues, but anyways... I really like the roster. Love Quinn Snyder. I say Jazz lose by 10. I think this could be a hard game for the Jazz.
That's fair. And then I'm going to stick with you. I think we're getting 2 wins this week.
Okay. Different wins, though.
I think it's the first week we'll ever get 2 wins.
Yeah, maybe the only.
But I am going to say it's a close game. I'm going to say the Jazz only win by 4.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the Hawks... they're still figuring things out, even though they have like a pretty good roster.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think right now is like the best time for us to play them because they're a little bit vulnerable. We'll be at home. And so I think we'll have just enough to get the win. Whereas maybe later in the year, I think the Hawks are going to be a little bit better.
Yeah, I like that.
And that also brings us to our player of the week. We're going to include that Celtics game as well because it was in the middle of our episode last time. So we finally got to break that down. So between those 3 games, I'm going to give the award to my boy Keontae George.
Nice, I love it.
I know that last time I gave it to Keontae George as well, so this will already be his 2nd player of the week.
That's fair.
But I think it was just a no-brainer just in how well he played in all 3 of those games. He was probably the one consistent factor this week. Even though we lost games, he was looking pretty good.
Totally.
And 2 of those games, he shot 50%, which is something that we always talk about with Keontae George is his efficiency, but this week he played very well and very was efficient.
Totally. I love that. I think he deserves it. I think he'll get a lot more this year than he did last year as far as player of the weeks. Be my prediction. I mean, he's already starting pretty hot, but
yeah, he's leading the way right now, him and Laurie.
We know Kessler and John Collins aren't stealing any of them this year, so I think Keontae could get a few.
Low key, I know you would have hated this, but I was thinking about Svi Mykhailiuk because of that game.
Yeah.
If the Celtics game didn't count, like he probably would have been close to player of the week just because there were only 2 games and he played well in one of them.
Hey, listen, if this is just like a get his trade value up thing, I'm totally down to turn this into a first round pick. But, you know, I just need our young guys to get some experience. So.
I agree.
Well, speaking of that, Walker Kessler... tore his, I think it was his labrum, which is in his shoulder. Had successful surgery.
Yeah, it went well.
But the season is over for Walker Kessler. I have lots of thoughts on this, but what are your initial thoughts about hearing about this?
Maybe before we get into like thinking about future Jazz, I just want to read. I really liked what Walker Kessler posted. You sent this to me last night. Because, I don't know, Walker Kessler just seems very mature about how he's handling all that. Because I know a lot of guys in the NBA, they'll get hurt like Kessler is, and they'll just like get angry or get upset with the organization, different things like that. Seems like Kessler's taking it well. Kind of similar to how I saw Taylor Hendricks last year take his injury.
Totally.
So he said, surgery went well, tough to see the season cut short, but I'm in good spirits, focused on coming back stronger. And then he even talked a little bit about God in his scripture. He shared a scripture from the Bible in Isaiah. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. So he's saying like, yeah, this is rough, but I'm going to come back stronger. Trust the process. Not Joel Embiid, but he's going to trust the process, right? He's going to get back to being himself. And I just, before we get into like just future talks, I'm just really impressed with how he's handling things and his maturity.
Yeah, totally. I think, man, I just love Walker Kessler. I just love how he like embraces Utah too. It seems like he enjoys being here. I mean, I just think he's, for what we got him for, I mean, it kind of felt at the time like he was just kind of thrown into that Gobert trade.
We didn't know who he was, really.
Yeah, and we're like, oh, this, you know, what's this guy going to be? And then he turned into like something that we're like, oh, okay, well, he kind of just replaced Rudy Gobert. And in some ways, does different things better than Gobert. Like, maybe not a better defender, but like...
He can shoot threes a little bit.
Totally, yeah. Better touch around the rim.
Good shot blocker as well.
Yeah, I haven't really felt like he's gotten lost on guards a lot like Gobert did sometimes. So, yeah, it's a really tough loss. I think my initial thought is I wonder how essential this surgery was. I don't really know about shoulder stuff, but we talked a little last week about like how long do the Jazz decide before they start to tank again? Are we actually competing this year?
Yeah.
So it kind of raises the question in my mind, was this actually like necessary right now? Or was this just like, might as well do it now. We're not going to win this year. You know, like
it kind of doesn't make sense to me for that, because I'm looking at this from kind of two perspectives, from Walker Kessler's perspective and from the Jazz. Like for Walker Kessler's perspective, his contract is over at the end of this year and he becomes a restricted free agent.
Yeah,
Jazz didn't give him an extension that he was kind of expecting.
Yeah,
and I think honestly, I was expecting him to get an extension.
Yeah,
he had played so well last year. He played really well this year up until now. So we kind of expected him to get that extension. Didn't happen, and now his contract's about to end. So you wonder, like, for Walker Kessler's perspective, he'd want to be out there on the floor to prove himself. At least I would.
Yeah, that's true.
And maybe he has already proven enough, but in our eyes, to the Jazz, I don't think he's proven enough. Otherwise, they would have given him the extension by now.
Yeah, that's true. I just think I'm making a bold prediction right now, but I think that this draft class might be one of the deepest ever, just looking at how these players are starting so far. I mean, like, you have three number one guys legitimately, like not just saying that, AJ, Darren Peterson, Cam Boozer, all those guys are like franchise building players. And I'm like, if I'm the Jazz, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't know how
it's
we could pass up on this.
It's hardest for the fans, right?
I totally agree. And I just wish we weren't on our third year of fence sitting. Like, I mean, I know we've talked about this before, but it's like, it's really frustrating when it's like, can we pick a lane here? Are we rebuilding or are we not? Like, you know, are we trying to compete for the play-in? If so, then let's not trade all of our guys at the deadline again this year. Like, let's push to the end, you know? Like, anyways, I agree with you, though. It is a little weird timing with the contract. Part of me wonders whether or not this is the Jazz choice. I mean, this could have an effect on Walker Kessler's decision. Seemed like he was a little, I mean, not disgruntled, but he didn't seem like he was very happy about the contract situation in his press conference. So it kind of makes me wonder, like, will we see Walker Kessler again in a Jazz jersey? I really hope so.
And he is a restricted free agent, so at least...
Yeah, but he's going to get paid for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I at least we can match whatever he gets.
Yeah.
And I don't think we have to worry about him leaving if we want him back. Yeah. Right, as we have that option. But it is getting to the point where you wonder if the front office does want him because they didn't give him the extension he would have accepted.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe it was just trying to find the right number. They couldn't agree. Yeah. But
and it feels like outside of Lowry, Walker Kessler's the name I've heard the most in trade. Like the Lakers seem to want him really bad for some reason. Well, I guess not for some reason. They need a center, but I'm sure there's other teams that have been calling being like, hey, what can we give you for Walker Kessler, you know?
I do think that there's a good chance that the Jazz without Walker Kessler are bad enough to tank pretty good.
Yeah.
So we might not even need to trade Lowry, or we may not even need to trade whoever.
We need to trade Svi. I know that.
Svi. I, honestly, I'm down to trade Svi just to open up minutes. But
yeah,
I know you want to trade him. But we may not even need to trade Lowry, and we might be able to still be in that range to tank if that's what we decide to do.
Yeah.
But again, I think as a GM perspective, I think the move, especially now that Walker Kessler went down, the move is to tank.
Mm, yeah.
But as a fan perspective, I think it's rough to give the fans a fourth year of tanking in a row.
Yeah.
And so I'm also looking at like some of the other teams last year, how they played decently well. They maybe won like 20 to 30, about 30 games, and they still got a decent pick.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know, I might be okay with like not tanking as hard as we did last year, but still making sure you're in like that, maybe like 3-7 range.
Yeah. I think it was David Locke talking about how the Jazz have a lot of picks that aren't going to be good, which we've already seen. Like, we have Minnesota's picks, Cleveland's picks. No, neither of those teams is going to be bad. And it's like, maybe it's time to start going back into the, you know, big game hunting, where it's like, I would just love to see the Jazz, like I said, pick a lane. It's like, because I don't think that the roster we have right now is ready to compete. I don't think it will be ready to compete unless we add some bigger pieces. So it's like maybe we package some picks and like go take a big swing. Yeah.
If like if you don't want to tank and you're just like, let's win.
Yeah, you got to go get somebody. I think you got to use some of those picks, because like I just don't think we can keep adding late first round guys. And we clearly don't even have minutes for our lottery pick. So like,
yeah,
obviously we're not going to have minutes for a guy drafted in the late first round. So we gotta start moving some of those. Or I think we gotta tank and take a swing at AJ or Darren or Cam or whoever it is.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. If we do get kind of a similar strategy to last year, those three guys are... Do you feel... We say this every year, right? But do you feel like those three guys... Are you higher on them now than you were on the top three guys last year at this time?
Oh, yeah, totally. I don't like
Cooper Flagg during the draft, but Cooper Flagg before college season started, you know, those three guys before the college started.
Well, I was pretty excited about Cooper Flagg. I still think he can be a generational player, but I watched Darren Peterson the other day. That guy, I saw some Kobe Bryant comparisons, and when I was watching him, I was like, holy crap, this guy is special. And I think AJ could be really good. I think
Cam Boozer would probably love to come here too, because his dad's like part of the Jazz.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that would be sick.
He's like a player development guy.
Yeah, and AJ's got a connection to Utah. He'd probably love playing in Utah because he didn't mind coming to college here and in high school here. So,
do you think any of those guys could play with Ace?
Yeah, see, that's my big question with Cam Boozer or AJ, where I'm like, we're kind of getting a little crowded with Lowry and Ace and even guys like Taylor Hendricks, where we're like, dang, we got a lot
of
big forwards. Yeah. So I'm almost leaning towards, I would love Darren Peterson at this point, but we also have a lot of guards. So I don't know. It just gets kind of weird.
But also, like, if you can get a guy that's going to be like your franchise player,
I don't think
it matters who's on your team.
Yeah.
You know,
I've even seen, I mean, I just think this draft class is deep. I mean, I was watching Arizona game, Koa Pete, I think's his name. He's special. He's really good. UNC has a guy that's really good, Caleb Wilson. Him and AJ were going back and forth all game. Baylor has a really good center. I just think this class is going to be really good. So it's kind of it would be hard for a GM, I think, to look at that and be like, oh, man, maybe we should compete for play-in.
Yeah. Know? We just need to roll the dice like the Mavericks did, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is our last year where we risk losing our pick, right, with Oklahoma City. I think we still...
Oh, really?
I think it expires this year, if I remember.
But we
right.
just have to be bottom 10.
Yeah, top 10, or else it goes to them, yeah. So there's a lot to think about. It's kind of tough.
But I think maybe as we've only had 3 weeks of basketball, it's kind of hard to tell like what we have still on the team. Like, we've barely seen the rookies play that much.
Yeah.
We're finally starting to see Keontae maybe be a piece, whereas maybe last year we were like... not sure about him.
Yeah, big question marks.
So maybe this Walker Kessler injury could be a blessing in disguise as it helps us maybe get another cornerstone piece.
Yeah.
And maybe it helps the Jazz pivot to, like what you're saying, picking a lane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I guess from a fan perspective, what do you think the Jazz need to do to keep the fans happy while also trying to get a good pick?
Yeah, it's
is tough. There like a balance in like where they finish, like maybe trying to win a couple more games than last year? Or are you thinking like you could still impress the fans with that many losses?
I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously we saw last year that going full tank doesn't necessarily like benefit. Like that was so frustrating at the lottery where we're like, man, we like suffered so much this year. And then we get the
fifth pick.
The
fans are going to get upset again if that happens 2 years in a row.
And so it's like maybe... we just give ourselves, like, we don't have to give ourselves the best odds, but just some odds to get the number one pick. I mean, San Antonio and Dallas were, like, not that high up. So it's like, we could get up there with not as many losses. So I think you got to win some games, which we've done already so far. Have a flashy game here and there. And I think you could keep people not too mad at you.
Yeah, I'm just pulling up the standings from last year, just out of curiosity. If you look at like the league, we finished 17 wins.
Yeah.
The Hornets finished with 19, Pelicans 21.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we just finish in that like 20 to 25 win range, that's top five odds, most likely.
Yeah.
Somehow the Spurs had 34 wins. They got the second pick, and the Mavericks had 39 wins. They got the first pick. So it's like, really? Are you kidding me, NBA?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just hard with the lottery because it just breaks your heart. And the Jazz have never like moved up, right?
Nah, I don't think so. Yeah.
So we'll see. I think the Jazz are going to have a hard time. They're going to have to balance. One, we want to keep the fans happy. Two, we want one of those top three guys.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think if you're a fan and you play 2K with the Jazz, you're going to be kind of happy. First Jazz ratings update just happened. Or, I mean, NBA 2K rating update. Lowry goes up 3 points. He's now at 87 from 84.
Deserved.
It's pretty good. I actually think it's kind of funny, too. I didn't know that this is his build name. It's says that Lowry's a crafty post-scoring three-point sniper. That's a cool name.
Oh,
I like that.
I like that a lot.
Walker went up one. Keontae went up 4 points. He's now at 82. If you had to guess who our biggest drop in ratings was, who would you guess?
Biggest drop in rating?
I'll tell you that it was 4 points. This guy went down 4 points.
4 points. Isaiah Collier?
It was Ace Bailey.
Ace Bailey, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, just because he hasn't really gotten out there.
I guess so. Yeah, he's at 80 or he's at 73. Sorry, not 83. Yeah, and then currently our lowest, Elijah Harkless. I guess
that's fair.
Not really surprising.
Two-way player.
Oscar Tshiebwe is three higher than him, which is a little surprising. But
yeah, I feel like they should be about the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I think Keontae could even jump more to like an 84 by the end of the season.
Yeah.
I could also see Ace Bailey definitely going and ending like at an 80.
Yeah. And if Lowry's going to have more 50-point games, he could find himself up near 90 if he...
Yeah, that's true.
If he keeps playing this
honestly, way. The way he's been playing these last couple weeks is 90 level, but if he can just sustain it.
Totally. Well, is there any teams or situations you've been watching the NBA this week?
What are you watching? I'll give you my weekly Spurs. I don't know. I low key keep watching the Spurs. Their highlights are just dope.
They're so good.
I saw last night Wemby dunked on KD on like a lob or something. It was pretty good. And then, they're third in the West right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk too much about them every single week, but I've just been loving the Spurs. And De'Aaron Fox is coming back their next game, so it's going to be cool to see.
Yeah. I've really been watching... Okay, well, I haven't been watching his team because they're pretty garbage, but I think Jeremiah Fears is looking really good. The Pelicans are pretty bad, but Jeremiah Fears already looks like
My Zion most improved take isn't looking great.
Yeah, well, maybe he'll improve from the beginning to the end of the season. I guess that would help his case, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, he hasn't looked bad. I just don't think that their roster's that great. I don't know. It's probably time to move on from the Zion experiment.
Yeah.
Probably go somewhere else, but...
Yeah. I'm also still loving the Bulls, just because I know the Bulls have been one of those teams like the Jazz that just hasn't been good for a while.
Yeah.
So I hope that this isn't... like just fake
the smoke, yeah,
like they end up being like a play-in team at the end of the year, but like they're 6-2, they're second in the East right now. I hope that they can keep it up and be like a top four team in the East.
Yeah, totally.
And then, you know, I'm always watching my boy Giannis.
Yeah.
He was hurt for like a game or two, but they actually just beat the Bulls last night. Giannis had like 40 points. He's averaging 33 on the year. So
yeah, that's so sick.
He's just so good, right?
Yeah, he's really good.
He's my MVP pick, so I could totally see him winning that now that Dame's gone and he has to really take the reins on everything.
Yeah, that's hype. I love that. Well, a little update on the Utah Mammoth. I think we've had one win, one loss this week. We're at 9-5 currently, zero ties, which is good.
Overtime loss, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think we're currently third in our division, which is good. That would have us in the playoffs still. I think we're top five in the Western Conference, which is also really good.
Yeah, one of those teams is knocking on the door.
Yeah.
In the standings, trying to knock us back to the wild card. So we need to win a couple games to keep that.
Yeah, there's a lot of five-loss teams right now, so we gotta be sharp and win some more games. But it's been a great start to the season so far. 9 wins through 14 games is not bad. So,
yeah, and I mean the losses we've had, like we lost to the Avalanche, they're really good.
Yeah,
we lost to the Oilers, they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we lost to the Lightning. I see, right? The Lightning are like average. They're 7-5 right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've lost to a couple pretty good teams. And so I think once we start playing these bad teams, I think we'll be able to take care of business, hopefully.
Totally. Well, Big 12 football, it's getting pretty hot. Utah took care of business last week.
Yeah. Utah's looking good after they lost to BYU. They've kind of bounced back.
Yeah. I think since our last episode, too. I can't remember what day we recorded, but the college football playoff ranking came out. Looks like the Big 12 could be primed to get 3 teams in, which would be incredible. I think some cards would have to fall our way, but both BYU and Texas Tech, who play today, are 7-8. Utah's at 13, which has them just out, and they'll probably win out. So we might have 3 teams in there if we play it right.
If Utah is at 13, would they need to get to like 11 because the group of 5?
The group of 5, yeah, probably. So,
and if they went out, that's totally doable, but it's like right there.
Yeah, I think it would be, honestly. I could see some teams dropping like late in the season, some games like Oregon plays Iowa today, which I think is a risky game.
Iowa's always one you don't want to play.
Yeah, and Oregon hasn't looked great this year. They're still a good team.
They lost to Indiana too, so they're not as good as we thought.
They got rolled by Indiana, and they already have 2 losses. I'm pretty sure they lost to Penn State. I can't remember. They lost to somebody else, but... Yeah, so as much as I hate Utah... I think it would be great for the Big 12 to get 3 teams in, so I'm rooting for
all of them. Talking to one of my buddies who's a Texas fan, and says that like Texas A&M might not really... They might be kind of an imposter because they haven't really played that many good teams yet.
Yeah,
and so he thinks that they play Texas upcoming, and that's going to be a pretty good matchup too. Maybe Texas A&M could drop a little bit.
Yeah. Something I hate in college football sometimes is like the circular reasoning that we use, where it's like people look down on the Big 12 because it's like the Pac 12 when you look back at them.
This team beat this team. Who beat this team? You know.
Yeah, and you're like, oh well, they all have four or five losses, and it's like, how do we know that's not because they're all great teams beating each other? Like, you can't prove that they're. And then there's like all these hypotheticals of like BYU would get rolled by an SEC team, and it's like, yeah, but you can't prove that. Like,
yeah,
it hasn't happened. So like, you can't just say that.
And there's four SEC teams above us. Yeah. So hello.
Yeah, it's like
it's not like that we're getting overrated right now.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I think if BYU can find a way to win out, we deserve a first round bye. It's going to be tough to win out, obviously, but I think we need to jump into that top four if we win out. If we go 12-0 and we beat Texas Tech and Utah, two playoff teams, potential playoff teams, we deserve a first round bye, I think.
Oh, so. Yeah. I would say so. Even if we lose the Big 12 championship, right?
Totally.
I think so.
Totally.
But it's going to be probably the game of the year so far tonight. And I mean this morning, because kickoff's in 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's close.
And then I think last week we talked about our predictions for like what the score might be.
Mm-hmm.
Has anything changed for you?
I still think BYU can win. I think I saw that their fans have been camping out since last Sunday. They're really excited. I think it's going to be a tough crowd. But BYU, I don't know, the Texas Tech, their quarterback's been injured. He's healthy, but their backup's out. So they're on their third.
And our defense is tough for anybody.
Yep. And so this might be a low scoring game because their defense is really good too. It's going to depend on Bear taking care of the football, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we could win. Absolutely. LJ's back. Jack Kelly's back. Raider DeMooney's back.
JoJo Phillips is back.
JoJo Phillips is back. We're ready to go. We're ready to roll.
I hope so too. I think I'm sticking with what I predicted last week, just BYU by 7.
Yeah.
It's going to be like close, but I think we can take care of it.
I like it. I think BYU needs to not fall into the habit of going down early, because I don't think you're going to catch up to Texas Tech. But
we're going down late. That's worse.
True. That's true. So, but we can't do the Colorado 14-0.
No. Or the Arizona.
Yeah, that will go bad for us. So we gotta start hot, I think.
Yeah. Didn't you say when we were, before we recorded, you mentioned that this is like our first top 10 matchup as a top 10
ever
team? Yeah, that's crazy.
We've had a great history, so it's kind of surprising that we've never had a game like this, but this might be the biggest game of our lifetime, at least. I mean, as far as the stakes.
Like maybe being able to really, really go far.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy that we're in this position. I don't know. That's exciting. So.
We hope for the best for our Cougs.
Yeah.
In 30 minutes. And then we've also got our BYU basketball team.
Yes, sir.
Who I feel so spoiled that this is the time when I'm at BYU, is being able to see all these sports teams just do well. AJ already looks like the best player in the nation,
he's
arguably.
So good.
He had 20 points against Villanova.
Mm-hmm.
Team rolled.
I thought Richie looked pretty good.
Yeah, Richie, I still think he could be a little bit more assertive.
Totally. Yeah.
Rob Wright also looked pretty good.
Yeah.
He got his buckets. I think Rob Wright's the guy I want on the court when AJ's off the court. Because I feel like the offense through Rob Wright is still pretty good.
Yeah.
So whenever AJ's out, I kind of want him out there.
Yeah. And honestly, this game was won by KBKate 100%.
Oh, yeah. Did you see his block?
Oh, yeah. And that.
Oh, wow.
There was like a drive right after that where he like legit guarded four different guys on the same drive, and he closed out and caused a miss. And I'm like, this guy is such a freak. Like, he's like Giannis. He's like,
yeah. And he wasn't like that a couple years ago. He's gotten better each year.
Yeah. He's so athletic and just causes problems. And he was doing all these pin down screens that were getting AJ open. And he's one of our X factors this year, I think. So he's really good.
Totally. Totally. But I think we're going to play a couple bad teams here.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait a month or so to see kind of what we're made of.
Let's assert ourselves a little bit.
I know. I guess this week, who do we got? Holy Cross.
Mm-hmm. Could be a tough one.
They're going to need to pray.
They'll need a Holy Cross.
Or what is Charles Barkley? You remember Charles Barkley on the Dream Team? I can't remember who they were playing. Like some African country, and he's like, they're in trouble.
Yeah,
so Holy Cross is in trouble.
Yeah, we always got to take care of business.
Same with, I think we play Delaware as well. Yeah. So Delaware's in trouble.
Yeah, I'm glad we have a couple of cupcake games because I was getting a little worried with how crazy our schedule's getting, but I love it. So yeah. I'm glad we have a couple tune-up games.
I think it
games.
Was Angola. They were like, oh, okay. Angola what? Angola's in trouble.
Yeah.
So good luck, Holy Cross. Good luck, Delaware.
Yeah. We'll take care of business. Well, thank you so much for joining us in our episode today. Don't forget to check out our past episodes. We've talked about a lot of games, prospects, what we think the Jazz should do. You can find those all on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. And we hope that you have a great day. Peace.